power couple for the Lord and oversee thousands of churches worldwide. And they've ministered alongside of Pastor Cheon for, I don't know what you were saying, 20, 30 years, and just worked really closely with them. And they have their own ministry and just touching many, many people's lives all over the world. And today they're with us, and it's just a great honor. And so I would rather just take the offering now so that we can be free to do whatever by the time that the end comes and we're not feeling like we have to take an offering at the end. So we're going to just sow into their ministry. And if you feel led, there's no obligation. But if you feel the Lord leading you in that, you just put something in the offering bucket. You can make it to Church on the Mountain, put in the memo to Pastor Mark and Ann, and then we'll write them a check. If you're giving just to the church, to Church on the Mountain, if you just want to give tithes and offerings to Church on the Mountain, that is in our tithe and offering box in the back. You'll see that in the very back. I just don't want to confuse you, but you can just give back there. Hallelujah. Lord, bless this offering. Thank you, Jerry. Amen. Well, it's exciting. This is an exciting time to be alive in America, in the world. There's so much going on spiritually and in the natural. But God chose us to be here for such a time as this. And I just see, I'm so just hopeful when I look at the church and I just see the church arise for such a time as this. And we're not shrinking away, we're engaging. And so I'm just so proud of you, all of you, and I'm proud of the church in America as it's slowly beginning to get back into the battle and just take our country back for the Lord. Amen. And so we feel like we're on the front lines and we have a part to play in California. And we believe that we want to win the Eastern Sierras. You know, we believe there's a great call upon California. And Church on the Mountain and the Eastern Sierras has a big role to play in winning California to the Lord. And so we're not just here to fill up time, and we're not just here to fill up your 2 hours on Sunday. We're here to bring reformation and to bring revival to California and to this land. And so that's why we're meeting, and that's why we want to partner with people like Pastor Mark and Ann, because that's what they're doing worldwide, and so good. So would you give a warm welcome to Pastor Mark as... It's going to be so good.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Are there any graduating students here, seniors? I was just wondering, I was thinking of all the shifts for these students. And, you know, and I'll be honest, you kind of highlighted one right over there drinking the coffee. And it was kind of like I just started feeling like kind of the, from a youth's perspective, the loss that you've experienced. You know, it's not kind of how you imagine your school years to be. And so you kind of drew that out of me. And I just want to pray for any loss in your life. You know, I feel like there's been something there too that's bigger than school. Right? Really big, yeah. So... I didn't mean to call you out too much like that, but I tried to be, like get all the students involved, but that was for you. you're just meeting us. Some of them that came, they know us. Tara is, she's just a great friend, and we love her ministry, and she works closely with my wife, Ann. Ann leads intercession trips up and down in California. And we now live in Portland, Oregon. We just moved there. Ann has been going downtown, Antifa to the right. her keyboard and worship in the middle, BLM to the right, you know, to the left, and police officers come out. They love her, and they love them. They pray over them and minister. And but we were Baptist pastors, got totally ruined by the Holy Spirit. He took over my church. Can you believe that? He wanted to be in charge. I mean, what is this? Then we became Bapticostals. Then we were Baptists with power tools. And from the beginning, we just decided that we didn't know what we were doing. So we said, let's all humble ourselves before one another and never be the right one, but be the humble one. And let's all hear God's voice. Let's not have the elite prophets. Let's raise up a prophetic culture, a transformation culture. And so God sent us to Kenya, and he wanted to train us, because in Kenya, that, you know, you go out into the villages and they walk, you know, 2 and 3 miles, and they want like a day's worth of teaching. So usually most of us are done in 2 days. Now what do? And we just started seeing so many miracles, so many salvations. But what we saw was marriages being changed, because the men beat their wives in that culture and their children. We saw the prophetic being restored, because it was totally intertwined with witchcraft. So everybody wanted to be, that's the last thing they wanted to do, was be prophets. And so we just started a small network, and it grew to about 250 churches. Then it went up to 1,000. And then the Lord said, give it away. Why are you still leading the movement? He said, these are your sons and daughters. So we commissioned 19 leaders throughout the country, one primarily, one that led that. We're now over 5,000 churches. And but the fun about it is I can take you in October and I can give you your own village. You don't need me. This couple, you're ready. Come on. My daughter saw a woman raised from the dead at 14 in the village. Wow. Yeah, go do it. Then you're like Luke 9 and Luke 10. You come running back and saying, even the demons obey us. Look at the person next to you and go, you are so anointed. You're anointed. You know, we're looking for the anointed people. They're in your chair. What's wrong with you? You know, it's you. You've got it. You carry everything you need. You got to look in the mirror. You're anointed. That's what Jesus declared when he declared over Nazareth, a town of 200 people who thought they knew him. He says, you want to know how I'm different from the last time you saw me? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. I'm anointed for a purpose. And he basically declared the fivefold ministry over his life. So Jesus did it. This is what that Baptist started doing. I just started looking in the mirror in the morning. Oh, you're anointed. Jesus declared it. If he needed to declare it, or wanted to declare it as a truth, as a declaration, as a sword. So that became my sword. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And I'm anointed for a purpose. And the purpose is to bring him glory, yes. But I started asking the Lord, what's my purpose? He says, you're going to release freedom in the body of Christ. You're going to bring divine order. You're going to raise up people into their destiny. I believed him. When David got anointed, it says, from that day on, the power of the Spirit was on David. That's what I want to look like. Because you know what? If I show up at a village and they're going to bring all the deaf, the blind, the hurting, broken, and if I show up and go, here I am, little old me, I hope something happens. I'm not very gifted. Maybe you could do it, Tara. No, you got to show up. That's what I'll train you. October, I'll take you. You'll show up at that village ready. You'll have that bone in your mouth. I'm anointed. Because if you can't, you know, that's where you're going to walk into the fullness. You know, Ephesians 4 is where you have the fivefold ministry. And I'm not going to preach a lot on that today. I did bring a book on five. This is called The Five Fingers of God. It's endorsed by Peter Wagner, Cheon, a lot of others. It's used in Wagner University. It's in 13 languages, most recently Russian, where I was just about to go to Bulgaria, where I'll be going to next month. But anyways, this book is designed how to take people from their seat into their destiny. Because I think the more we can really see our value. But at the same time, in a church, it's not just an independent thing. It's done in cooperation with one another. And it's really, I really believe this, you fulfill your destiny in relationship to others. You don't do it on your own. So my wife, Ann, has been leading this week, this weekend, and she carries a lot of things I don't. Just stand up, Ann, say hi, I want to honor you. She's a heavenly tour guide. Teaches people how to have encounters. And so in Ephesians 4, verse 7, it says this to each one of us, a grace has been given as Christ measured it. To each one of us. It sounds like another verse that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12:7, which says, now to each one of us a manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. But what's the difference between those two verses? One is a manifestation of the Spirit that's poured out spontaneously upon the need that God is moving. And it's not dependent just on a person. What's your name? Ann. Okay. So let's say Ann moves in healing. And Ann's going to do a healing night. You gather, everybody's excited. Suddenly Ann can't be there. Are we going to go, oh no, Ann can't be there. I guess we're not going to have any healing. Why? Because it's a gift of the Spirit. But let's say Ann was an expert at forgiving people. Are you? I know, but I know. I see that grace on you. That's why I'm declaring this. And let's say she said, I want to teach and help people through the most difficult situations of forgiving others. And suddenly Ann couldn't be there. We would miss out. Why? Because the gift of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:7 was the anointing of the Spirit. But in Ephesians 4:7, it's the person that has received a grace as Christ measured it. Meaning without you and you bringing your grace, we don't have it. In fact, the word is charis, the Greek word that's used. It's a different variation because it has to do with character. And we even use that in English. We'll say that person has a grace, you know, with a certain group of people. So listen to this. A grace has been given to who? To each one of us. Tell the person next to you, it includes you. Okay. Tell yourself, it includes you, okay. A grace has been given. Listen to the tense. It's been released. Okay? So God said to Jeremiah, before you were, formed, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Hebrew word is I ordained you in the womb. That's pretty intense. I have given you a specific grace, and it's been measured. Meaning, You know, where's your water bottle? This is a good picture. Here's my, look at my water. Okay. Okay. Here's my. Here's the problem in the churches. We look at people through natural eyes, and this is what we see. I'm sincere. When I look at you, this is what I see. Because if we don't have that culture here, and you want to transform and be a light to the Eastern Sierras, who is the comedian? Forget about it. I'm being direct with you. If you can't do it here, this is where it starts. It's how you look at each other. And if I'm looking at you, you might think, what's he thinking? I'm strange. So the worship team, you know, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at what you're releasing. Faithfulness. Tenderness. And the thing is that most Christians aren't aware of not only what they've been given, but let alone that, but what's been measured. I'll tell you, I want to know exactly what I've been given. And then next, I want to know what's been measured out for me. How far is the measure? And by the way, I'm going to be direct with you. I have ministered in over 40 countries. Okay, I do a lot of training of leaders. Thousands and thousands of leaders at one time in India, Philippines, all over the world. And I find the one thing is that there are so many believers that have not understood the full measure. And so I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to tell you, you know, and I like to joke, you know, like here's where the measure is, right? And then we want to know how far it goes, but I just want to set this up. How if you ordered a pizza? Oh, for me, it'd be all meat, okay? All right, I'd throw in a veggie in for Ann, okay? The all meat's coming with some onions. Okay. So we got that coming. And there's a delivery guy and he brings it and I open it up and half the pizza's gone. And he's got a little cheese and tomato sauce on his lip. What's my response? Yeah. Why? Because I know. And I'm kind of upset. I wish some of you just, even now, start rising up. Wait a minute. I've been wrong. I want it. How many want half measure? Three quarter. How many want this water? How many want the full measure? You know, Paul was so intent about it, he mentions it two more times in Ephesians 4. In verse 13, he talks about coming into the full measure of Christ. Verse 16, he says, as each part does its work, as each part grows in love, then we come into the full measure. I don't know. I'm new here. I don't know how bad you want it. I'll tell you, I know. I'm like, Cheon calls me like a church mechanic. I know if you want it. And I say that to encourage you. It's something you have to, as a church culture, say, we are a church where every person that God entrusts to us from the You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, if you look down, actually you should go right from verse 7 to 11 because verse 8 through 10 is really about quoting Psalm 68. So if you go back to the original language, it's really, he's talking about the gifts there, goes from 7 to 11, and he's talking about the church. And he said, some are called to be apostles. Some are called to be prophets. Some are called to be evangelists. Some are called to be pastors. Some are to be called teachers. I like to use the non-title word, which, by the way, I have a sense that this is a non-title church. You're not into titles. The Lord told me, you don't understand titles. He said you don't understand the power and the authority in some of the people that I want to give in this room. Was that too direct? Have I been here long enough to... Because, I mean, I'm leaving today on my car, you know, so it's okay, you know. You guys can help me out. But that would make you a non-profit organization. Am I for titles? Absolutely. Father. You know how seriously I take father and spiritual father? I laid down a salary of 90,000 plus perks so I could be a better spiritual father. I pursued my natural children more than I ever could or had done because I wanted to be the best father I could be. That title means so much to me. Husband. I don't want to be a good husband. I want to be a great husband. Friend. I'm a really good friend. I know how to be friends. I'm not, if you call boasting, boast in the Lord, I'm a role model. I have real friends. People I talk to every day, every week, speak into their life, prophesy. Maybe you've heard of one. His name is Brian Simmons, Passion Translation. Yeah, great guy. Very good friends. Why do I say this? Titles have power. In fact, in this room, there are some people. There are CEOs. There are people who have a lot of authority. People have governmental roles. You have real authority. I'm not trying to do a sermon on titles. I'm saying if we're going to look at each other with true eyes, titles give us fear. I met Jerry. The Lord told me right away. I saw the foundation of this building. He's a builder. That's part of his influence. But he's also still taking the offering. How many years later? That tells me a lot about him. Titles are powerful when they're not given out of duty, religion, and tradition. But when they're given by the Spirit. You know why? Because in the church we have a three-fingered hand. I'm a pastor. Hallelujah. I'm a teacher. Glory to God. I'm an evangelist. Praise the Lord. I'm a prophet. Who told you? I'm an apostle. Oh, you think you're... Could you imagine I'm a Baptist and the Lord says, Lord, I go, I don't even know if I believe in apostles. Are apostles really for today? I'm like, I went to a Baptist seminary, and I knew that they weren't for today. And he says, yes, and you're called to be one. And he said, never seek the title. Seek the function. You know, I think it's more humble when you believe God. God has a plan for your life. He has a strategy. He spoke into your womb. He's never given up on it. He's never going to give up on it. But the church, a church has to have the skills to know how to raise people up. And you know, I think that we've made a mistake. I made a mistake. Because if you go to the next verse, verse 12, it says to equip the saints, right? Like there's a period there. To equip the saints. What does that mean? Why did we stop? Why didn't we read the rest of the verse and the next verse? Why did we stop at equipping? Because it tells us what we're supposed to equip you in. We're not supposed to equip you for ministry. We're supposed to equip you for life. We're supposed to equip you to have a close relationship with your son that is diametrically opposed to you politically and in another way. And you're going to have the best relationship because you know how to do it. We're going to equip you to work through conflicts that you never had knew how to do in your family. We're going to teach you how to work through issues that you've brought from church to church. We're going to equip you to come into what God has for you. And that's going to be our culture. And everything I just said is right in the next verses. I just did Bible. He says to equip what? First, unity in the faith. Do you know that the world has changed? We don't have the right to agree to disagree anymore. Do you know that some populations, if you disagree with them, you're abusing them? It's true. Agreeing to disagree, it's almost out the door. How many of you have had an interesting or even a volatile discussion with someone over politics or on Facebook in the last year? Yeah? How did it get there? I'm going to say this. Your culture changed. The political cycles, the pandemic, all those things changed, and people are now ramped up, agitated. Guess what? It creeps into the church. And you don't even know it. I like to give the illustration. You're walking up some stairs with 10 books. And that was normal life. Now you're walking up with 40 to 50. And you want to know why you're fatigued. You want to know why you're saying, am I depressed? You want to say, why am I discouraged? Am I talking to anybody in this room?
Yeah.
It's because you are in a cultural battle that you can't get away from. And it's impacting relationships between sons and daughters and parents and grandparents. I have families come to me that are telling me, Mike, they won't even talk to me. They won't even, over who I voted for. Or my son showed up at the table and said, I'm now going to be a woman. And I mean, people don't know what to do with this stuff. Equip the saints to be in unity of the faith. What I'm doing now in leadership training is I am teaching the pastors how to have a church culture that is so safe, and any unsafe behavior is not addressed in a negative way. We go to them and say, how are you doing? What's going on? How can we support you? I had this happen. I lead a network. I had a guy I took to another church, just like I took someone today. We ministered. About a month later, he did a Facebook post. When a woman in our network went on. It was the church that we had gone to. He forgot. He called her stupid. How could you be so stupid? Everybody likes this word, misinformation. Everybody, who is anybody who doesn't have misinformation? And so here they are, hurting. I called them. I said, hey, I heard that you called someone so stupid on the Facebook. He goes, yeah, and he went off. He got done. I said, why do you think I asked you? I'm concerned about you. Has this impacted any other relationships? He goes, almost all of them. He never felt so isolated. He was disappointed in his leaders. He was disappointed in his family. By the end of the conversation, he's saying, "Thank you so much. I feel it's like a chiropractor. You're just readjusting my heart. I just didn't know how much I needed it." Church on the Mountain, like any church, you have tough spots. There's even divisions. There's even stuff. And I'm not talking about anything current. I don't know anything. But I know this, that this culture has to be at the highest level now. We can't afford it. We have to be so different from the world that when people go there and go, "That's the safest place I've ever been." They're not just friendly. They're real. They are safe. You can tell them your story and they're not going to freak out on you. They're going to heal your marriage. They're going to heal your family. Anybody here anointed to heal families? Where are you? Absolutely. It's time. It's time to get together and to say, "Lord, show us how to heal families. Just show us how." People want to know what their destiny is. It's pretty simple. A lot of it has, you have the desire in your heart already. You can't help yourself. Some of you are so compassionate. You're full of compassion. That's pastoral. How many of you are really compassionate? Love to listen. Look at you. All right, just go ahead. Pastor the region. Go for it. You're released right now. Really? I try to minister wherever I go. Walk into the bank. I prophesy over tellers. Now I walk in, it's like everybody's waiting, you know, waiting for their word, you know. Now I'm doing some real estate, ministering to some new real estate agents, mentoring one and having more integrity. It's things like this. You get to be who you are no matter what you're doing. That's anointing. And that's how you get the full measure. See, you're faithful with little, and you understand that there's nothing in your life that doesn't relate to your anointing. Because anointing is the power and purpose of God. Jesus is the one that linked it. So, unity in the faith. How good are you at relationships? How good are you at conflict? Do you tolerate people or do you celebrate them? Again, I'm not saying any statement here, but I'll watch. I know if you celebrate each other. I know what people who celebrate each other act like. And I know what people who tolerate people look like. And I'm not a judge, doesn't matter what I think, but I see it because I know if a culture is real. We can't say it and not do it. And the next thing is in the knowledge of the Son of God. That's intimacy. God's going to take you to another level of intimacy where you hear his voice even clearer. Does anybody want that? And that's why, like in worship, you have different worship leaders and different things. And you're going to feel that draw to intimacy. And the Lord's not going to let you preach until he feels like he really, really encountered his people. And it's going to be terribly awkward. Do you know, I was a Baptist. One time I was like sitting there right where you were, and God said, and I was supposed to preach. And the Lord says, "I'm not preaching right now." John 5:19, the son can do nothing by himself. I said, "Well, Lord, what are you doing then?" "Well, I am healing a left deaf ear." One Sunday, it was Pentecost Sunday, the Lord said, "You can't get up." And everybody looked around at each other. It was terrible. I mean, I was still fighting that Baptist. I get paid to do the job. Okay? I overcame that. I got delivered. I did. It was, being a hireling was like grievous. Oh. But guess what? 16-year-old got up. I'd taken him to Kenya. They don't respect young people. Believe me, they respected him within days because it was prophetic ministry. He's the first one to get up. Before you know it, the line started, 1 Corinthians 14, line started forming. People had been trained how to not do 20-minute words. They started getting up. We couldn't end the service. Couldn't stop the healings. You want knowledge in the Son of God? Then he wants to take your form and he wants to say, you serve me. And I don't want you to have the form of religion and deny its power. I want to fill your form. By the way, I don't like it sometimes. He'll tell me to get... I just recently, and it was very intense, the Lord said, there's someone here, it's the anniversary of their... They tried to commit suicide. I didn't want to call them out, but just one of those awkward moments. I said, okay, is there someone here? You tried to commit suicide a year ago. A young man came up. I asked him, I said, was it, you know, obviously he'd responded. I said, well, what's going on? He goes, he was demonized. Totally and completely demonized. I didn't expect that one. I mean, I thought we were going to have a little bit more clean event, you know, a little more, you know, sterile. Thank God for your wrist. That was a lot easier, you know. How's your wrist? Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, I always, when I do deliverance, or, you know, I always ask the Lord what he's doing because, you know, sometimes Jesus put, you know, mud on and didn't put mud. And he said, hug him like a father and tell him how much I want him. And I've always wanted him. So I'm just up here hugging away, you know, and I'm just, everybody's just kind of looking at us, you know, and I'm just loving on him. I start saying, I wanted you. I've always wanted you. And then I just said, every spirit that's opposed, this relationship must go.
Amen.
And so I'm just doing a love model, right? I'm not trying to do an inner healing yet. He was transformed in front of our eyes. He was totally delivered. Not inner healing, by the way. There's renewing of your mind, which is how you're transformed. But the demonic hold was broken.
Wow.
He had tried to commit suicide 7 times.
Wow.
I checked into it a month later. They said, that guy is not only of sane mind, but he's totally reunited with his family. And his name is Angel. And he's a recovering addict. And he's really going to be a major leader. Do you want that culture?
Yeah.
See, I'm just trying to put this. You got to want this.
Yeah.
You've got to be the epitome of unity. And if you don't, instead of it being a big deal, say, oh, yeah, I guess we got to learn more. If someone annoys you, just say, thank the Lord. Say, thank you for showing me an area I'm not healed in yet. Okay? And then the knowledge of the Son of God is move in. You know what happens is that it becomes a culture, but guess where it goes? Out there. It's a long story, but I was in Kenya. There's a terrible party on the beach. I went down. I got approached by a prostitute. I looked at her. Suddenly the eyes of the Father. And I looked at her. I said, I could never be with you because you look like a daughter. She said, me, a daughter? And I said, to prove it, you have an 18-year-old brother, don't you? She goes, yes. And I said, he's the most important relationship in your life, isn't he? She said, yes. And I said, that's how the Father feels about you. The next night, 12 prostitutes came running.
Yeah.
It's a long story. 125 got baptized in 1 week. Okay? But guess where I learned it? Here. Ladies, you're in the car for 3 hours. You should all be prophesying in the car. You're in the car more than a half hour. You got plenty of time to prophesy for everybody in it. Because you're in a prophetic culture. You're a prophetic life. You're just seeing each other through eyes of God, through the eyes of God. Some people say, well, I don't know how to prophesy. And then I say, I don't need you to prophesy. I want you to love people. How many of you can love people? Then you can prophesy. You might not know it yet, but you're prophesying your head off. Because the word, the word tells us in Revelation that that prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. If you don't say, I can't prophesy, just testify about Jesus then. And you're prophesying. The next one is to become mature. What church do you know that you could come to, and a couple months later the pastor comes up and says, you know what, I really think you're quite immature. How many think that would be a really exciting moment? In fact, the leaders would not even have right in this culture to do that. Now, I'm not saying that's what we want to create, but how about if you do struggle with anger or you get frustrated really quickly with people or you don't know how to forgive or you're not really good with your money? Why wouldn't we have a culture where we could say, I worked through that. I used to have the worst anger problem known to man. And I overcame. And I'm coming to you because I see you struggling and it's hurting. Why wouldn't we have a culture where we healed each other on the areas that we grew? I'm not saying judgment. You got an anger problem. You got to get a... leave our church until you get fixed, you know. That's a lot of churches' approach, you know. We've tried everything. Hurting people are hurting. Difficult people are facing difficult things. A lot of you raised your hand, you're pastoral. Go get them. Go love it out of them. In fact, my church, I mean, I've met Mike, okay? He's a lot more pastoral than me, meaning he's so much nicer than me, okay? Because if you come to my office and it's the second time, I'm going to probably tell you to get over it, all right? In love. I think that's loving for someone who's been saying the same thing for 15 years. But what I did is I built a church with strong pastors because I knew that people needed comfort. In fact, I knew I was the worst person for them at that time. So I said, hey, this elder, Paul, he's really good. Here's Heather. She's really good. You know, I would show the people. I laid down the title because when I said earlier, I was not a pastor. I equip people. If you want a prophetic, you know, you want prophetic destiny words, I'm your man. You want to help come into your destiny? I'm there. You want comfort for a long time? It's not that I don't want to. I equivocate that like I'm a surgeon. You go to an ER and they take care. And they send you to the different departments. They send you to the floors that you need to go to. You have a heart problem, you need heart specialists. You have lung problems, you need to go there. That's how I built my church. I know where I belong. And I knew where I didn't. That was probably more important. Maturity as a culture is we see the value on every person and we know what they carry, including your leaders. And we don't expect them to be something they're not. We release them to be who they are. And it goes all the way down. That's maturity. We know who we are. Are you from this church?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lover. He's a lover of truth. Okay. right?
Yes, for sure.
Yes. And you faced a lot of injustice. The enemy wanted to use injustice to embitter him. Do you want to know how your calling is? How have you been attacked? The enemy only attacks what's important. If you're supposed to restore and heal marriages, he'll attack that marriage, believe me. Him, he came after him. But guess what? This guy overcame. In many ways. Without going into much detail, also some things that tried to take hold of you, right? All, do you feel loved?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the test. Strengthened, comforted, encouraged. We got it. We have to raise the bar.
That's right.
Yeah. You can't have your outburst. We're not going to say that's okay. By the way, I don't have any. I talk to churches all around the world. I'm not talking about Church of the Mountain, okay? So I don't have inside knowledge here, okay? I know churches. It's not enough to have say we have a culture of honor. It's a culture of safety for everyone. But the goal isn't the church. It's our families. And it's our community. It's our neighbors. It's our neighbors. I mean, we travel around the world, so we leave early. I'm sure our garage doors, we probably talk to each other too loud. One time, my wife said, you know, we'd moved into this new house. She goes, our neighbors don't like us. I said, that's changing right now. I knocked on the door. That little boy, a couple of boys brought home gifts from our trips. Our neighbors loved us. The enemy's not going to tell me who I am as a neighbor. And by the way, it wasn't my wife who was the enemy. My wife was just attuned that this is in our realm and that's not maturity. We even have a maturity assessment tool. You can measure whether you're mature or not. I had one that I wasn't doing very well in when we designed it. It was one of them was unanswered prayer. And I had a son that really isn't walking with the Lord, and I was really struggling. God wanted to heal me through that tool. We don't want to give you a tool to put you down. We want you to grow. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian all your life or you've been at this church all ever since its inception or whatever. It doesn't mean you're mature. I'm sorry. Wouldn't it be great if you just had a committee that would help measure whether people are mature or not? What happens if they really loved you and you got inner healing and you got breakthrough and everything you went to? I wish you'd have people lining up to meet with that group. Just saying. And the last one is, I'm doing an exegetical word, you know, study of Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. Equipping the saints. By the way, can I go back to that? Equipping is a relational word. It's actually a medical term in the Greek, and it means when bones are broken, they need to be realigned perfectly and then put in a cast to be healed, and then they're stronger than they were before. When I go into a church, by the way, I deal a lot with church conflict, so this is where some of this message comes out. I'm called in when it breaks down. Okay? It's always one issue. Alignment. they haven't given their hearts to one another. When you give your hearts to one another, that's why Peter said love covers a multitude of sins. But if you haven't given your hearts to one another, guess what? You close your heart. And when you close your heart, it doesn't matter what you say. Have you ever gone into a situation and someone's made their mind? Or maybe you've made your mind? Everything you say can and will be used against you. Why? Because it's a heart condition. Paul faced this with the Corinthians. He said, open wide your hearts. He pleaded with them to open their hearts to him again because he dealt with a church discipline issue. And they had closed their hearts to him. Equipping means you're going to be aligned. But in the old phrase, and by the way, submission, I'm not even going to go there. The reason it went wrong for a lot of people is it didn't have alignment. It had control. And alignment is not control. You want your kids aligned with you, but you don't want to control them. Because they'll believe, if you're aligned with someone and you start to entrust and God did it, you'll actually believe that they have your best interest in mind. And you have theirs in mind. And if people get there, conflict's pretty easy to resolve. I use a very sophisticated question. When did it get weird? Everybody can tell me when it got weird. I mean, it's just amazing. But if I don't have aligned hearts, I can't get anywhere. Just to say, I learned this. I'm with another counselor. We met with a couple the day after their divorce was final. Final. Negotiating money, who gets to see the kids win. I just want to say this. The way we dealt with them and loved them, they were remarried in 3 months and have been together and had more children. Are we going to let the Lord tell us, I mean the enemy tell us what our culture is like? Are we going to allow the world to dictate how we relate? And the last one is to come into the full measure of Christ. Do you know how I know if you're a true leader here? And by the way, I don't know who the leaders are and who isn't, so I'm not stepping on anybody. But when I meet with a leader, I'm looking to hear one thing. That they want more for their people. They want it for them. They pray for it. They grieve for it. They model for it. They train for it. And I go to a lot of churches and meet with a lot of leadership teams, and I'll say, Lord, there's no leaders here. There's no duplicators here. There's no one really functioning like a father and mother here. Again, I'm not talking about Church of the Mountain, okay? I'm just saying. The full measure of Christ. By the way, I was commissioned as an apostle. Not by myself. It's by Cheon. You know what it means to me? It means that I am more of a servant to love the body of Christ. Recently, the Lord told me, I want you to get vaccinated. My mind said, absolutely not. I'm not going to be a part of it. He says, no, but I'm sending you soon. The nations are going to start to be open. And I'm sending you. I said, Lord, my mind can't handle this. He said, then leave it alone. I'll tell you what day to do it. I was down in L.A. for the conference. He said, I took out my computer and praying. He goes, today's the day. I went down and got J&J, you know. I played around. The guy that checked me in was Johnson. I looked for a Johnson to give the shot, but couldn't find that. 2 days later, I'm sitting with Bulgarians. They said, "We really need your help. Can you come?" I said, "When?" I'm thinking fall, right? They said, "June." See, my mind is still going, the EU isn't taking anybody. But my spirit is being prepared. And I said, "I would love to come in June." So 2 weeks later came. It's time to make the decision, get tickets. I said, "Lord, I need a word from you." I open up. Out comes an article. European Union just announced only vaccinated people will be allowed into the European Union. What's my point of the story? I want full measure so bad. I am chasing full measure. I want to impact nations. I'm not grandeur and thinking, "Oh yeah, I'm impacting the whole nations." But I'll tell you, there are regions in this world I'm bringing teams and a part of leading and helping impact. Now, why would I say that? Because I want to be an example and say, if you chase it, God will start opening doors for you that will blow your brain. I got an email from Russia that said, "We have 3 cities. We translated your book for Moscow, St. Petersburg, and Saratov. Now we have over 200 leaders in each city waiting for you. And here's the weekends we want you to come." Okay? I am no more important than you. I am no more anointed than you. I am no more gifted than you. I'm your brother. If that's what you want to call me in this house, I don't need you to call me a title. I know who I am. I know what I'm called to do. But I want to speak your destiny into you. I want to blow your brain. I want you to go, "Me? Who are you talking about? Me?" Yeah, you. I know that couple in the back. Man, you guys you're dangerous. You are ready. Are you gathering people? Huh? With COVID? I just challenge you guys, just start gathering people. You might even not know why. Just say, "We're gathering people." Believe me, it'll happen. And they come in and just say, we're gonna help you guys feel more love than you've ever felt in your life. And we're going to equip you to love people more than you've ever loved people. What happens if that's what you just did the rest of your lives? You know, we're walking around, "Who do we need to love?" You look like you could use it, you know, I mean. All right, well, I have to honor your time. And I just want to just close with some prayer. Actually, a verse just keeps on coming to my mind. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Say, how are we going to do all this? Maybe you're probably already doing a lot of it. That's not my job to measure or say. But where do you start? And there's this appeal. Remember, Paul is talking to a church that is struggling in their relationship with. It's a relational failure. It's a relational breakdown. Did you know that? Do you know how when there's a relational breakdown? When the rules start kicking in. You don't need rule. Hey, we're fishing together, right? You know, we're having fun. But I break my word and we're out fishing. Now maybe you might want to talk to me about something else than another hook and the bait, right? Because something happened. There was a relational breakdown. And it's not hard to just have that fellowship when this is sitting in the boat, right?
when the rules kick in. Guess what? That's why people are religious with God. They feel alienated from God. And they've been trained through traditions that, you know, they do certain things. They're going to be better for God. The problem is you can't do anything to earn more of His love. I know in childhood that was different. We all learned how to cope. Some of us learned to shut up. Some homes were very unsafe. Some churches are unsafe because they're led by leaders that have the same patterns. Same families. I find that at work. I mean, that's true in any organization. Workplaces. Okay. My point here is that when the relationship breaks down, it's a heart situation. And so this is what I love, and I'm going to close with this, is if you guys want to agree with me today to come into an equipping church, a unified church, in the faith, by the way, it's through Jesus, in the knowledge in the Son of God, you're an intimate church. 4, you're a mature church and individuals. And 5, you're coming in the full measure of Christ. He says this, I urge you, brothers, I'm using the Passion Translation, and sisters, for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another, and to put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as one united body living in perfect harmony. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective with shared values. Now, by the way, so you know, this is something. I've been developing 3 messages on this and have been, you guys got more the appetizer version. Okay? Because there's a lot of themes I try to hit in one morning. Okay? So you got more of the big picture of Ephesians 4. So you know, again, this was something that came out of my heart for what I see in the body of Christ today. I just did this on a podcast of a different variation, but this is on my heart. I believe it's on God's heart. But I read this, and I feel so challenged. Because I agree to live in unity. And 2, to put aside anything that is dividing me. So it's a true story. I went after relationship with my kids that were diametrically opposed to things that I stand for. And I can stand in front of you today and say, I am closer to them now than I've ever been before. Through talking about politics. How did you do that? Because I positioned myself to understand him, to learn from him, and not try to correct him or change him. And 8 months later, the Lord said, you can ask him any question now because you have his heart. This is what I did. I urge you to put aside anything that is dividing you from anyone in any way. So if you want to do that, stand up. If you want to make this declaration as we close. I know I always feel bad about it. It's kind of like, okay, who's sitting? You know, I mean, no. No, please. Feel honored. Am I going to get kicked out? Okay. Before you do this, or I just feel like I'm supposed to give you a blessing. I loosen a healing into your heart where you've been wounded by the words or actions of others. I release a call upon your life. No, okay, no, sorry. I I really do, actually. I just look and increase the call, a sense of the full measure upon your life. I speak alignment into your heart that's from God and for God. I speak intimacy in your knowledge of Him. I pray you'll encounter Him. I pray that you will come into healing and real breakthrough in the areas you've needed maturity. I pray and bless you that you'll come into the full measure of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And in response, I'm just asking you to repeat after me. And by the way, you're repeating Scripture, not my words. It's simply this. For the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I agree to live in unity with one another. Number two. Hey, good. My truth guy, that was very good. We're on the same page, baby. We're floating here. I put to rest any division that attempts to tear us apart. And I declare restoration over our body, over our families, over our community, over our state, our nation, and to the nations. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mike, come.
Praise God. That was so good. Were you blessed?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Why don't you just we're done, but I just want you to put your hand on your neighbor and just bless them. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Father, we just seal this word in our neighbor's heart. God, we just thank you that this word shall bear fruit in this person that I'm touching right now. Thank you, Jesus. Just bless them, bless them, bless them. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace and your blessing on every individual, on every heart, on this house, God. We just pray that the word spoken and sown into Church of the Mountain, Lord, let it bear much fruit in this new season that we're navigating, in this new season that we're walking into, Father. We thank you for the tools and for the equipping and for the alignment that we have received today. And we just say yes and amen. 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 God bless you all. Pastor Mark is going to be in the entryway. He's got a bunch of his amazing copies of his book. If you want him to sign it, or if you just want to say hi to him or whatever, he'll be right in the entryway. Otherwise, God bless you. Come back next week. It's going to be great. If you need prayer, come up front. We love you. Have a beautiful Sunday.